Welcome to The Word Unveiled, a continuing series of programs about our faith produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala. My name is Gordon Peck, and our program is The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. This will be a study in four parts. Part one is the world of Dante. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, Lord, the lamp of charity, which never fails, that it may burn in us and shed its light on those around us, and that by its brightness we may have a vision of that holy city where dwells the true and never failing light, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Dante Alighieri first met Beatrice Portinari when he was 9 and she was only 8 years of age. She will have a colossal impact upon his life. Now, it seems rather cute. These two young children see each other, and for Dante, it was love at first sight. But he projected an image upon her, and Beatrice encompassed all that was beautiful and truthful and spiritual for the young boy. And she would influence all of his future poetry, as well as assume a very large and important role in his epic poem, The Divine Comedy. So what is The Divine Comedy? Well, it's an epic poem. It's, I believe, 17,000 lines long. It's a record of the world of Dante. All the things that happen in his life and in his world around him, they show up somewhere in The Divine Comedy. It's an ode on love, on truth, beauty, and salvation of the soul. It's the first great work written in the Tuscan Italian language, not Latin, and it helped to establish Italian as a major language group. So let's begin in the Republic of Florence. Florence was surrounded by a number of smaller countries. This is in the year 1265, the year when Dante was born. Florence itself was a city-state. It ruled an area around it, including several smaller cities. To the south and to the east were the papal states. At that time, the Vatican ruled land beyond the Vatican itself, beyond Rome. South of that was the Kingdom of Naples and of Sicily. To the north and to the east was the Republic of Venice, which controlled much of the Adriatic Sea. Then to the northwest, we had the Duchy of Savoy, which was French territory. And then north of that, you had the Holy Roman Empire, which included parts of Italy, parts of Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. And then there were other city-states in the northern part of the Italian peninsula, including Milan, Modena, Ferrara, Siena, and others. Now, Dante was born in the city of Florence, which was at that time an independent republic. The population of the city was probably around 50 to 60,000 people, which was large for Europe at that time. It's believed he was born in 1265 based on his comments about being at midlife, that is 35 years, at the beginning of his Divine Comedy. His birth name was Durante di Alighierio degli Alighieri, and his father was Alighierio di Belcinone, and his mother's name was Bella, and she died when Dante was only 10. Now, Florence was a center for banking. It was a center for manufacturing and commerce. It was, beyond doubt, the wealthiest city in Europe. The only major obstacle they had to life in Florence was that it was plagued by an endless series of civil wars. Before the birth of Dante, the major combatants were two family groups known as the Guelphs and the Ghibellines. Now, the Guelphs, or in Italian, Guelfo, was an Italian form of the name of the House of Welf, and that was from the family and dukes of Bavaria. So it's based on a German rivalry that happens to the north. The Welfs were said to have used the name as a rallying cry during the siege of the Battle of Winsburg in 1140, in which the rival Hohenstaufens, led by the Emperor Conrad III, used Wibelingen, the name of a castle today known as Wabelingen, and their battle cry of Wibelingen subsequently became Ghibellino when it translated into Italy. So thus the Hohenstaufen faction became known as the Ghibellines, and the Welfs eventually became known as the Guelphs. And the Ghibellines were the imperial party, they were supported by the Holy Roman Empire, and the Guelphs were supported by the Pope and the Papal States. The strife between the Guelphs and the Ghibellines in Florence began with the story of a young man named Buondelmonte. He was pledged to marry a maiden from the Amadea family who were Ghibellines, but he passed by the place where he was supposed to get married, and he went down and he married a maiden from the Donati family, and they were Guelphs. So Italian temperaments flared, and there was a lot of anger about this whole thing. So the Ghibellines plotted to assassinate Buondelmonte. So on Easter morning, as he was coming home from his wedding, the wedding that he had with the Donati woman, he made his way across the Ponte Vecchio, and there he was slain by the Amadea and their allies who were lying in wait in ambush. Well, this event led to a cycle of violence between the Guelph and Ghibelline families that would go on for decades. So the powerful families on both sides of the Guelph-Ghibelline conflict built towers for refuge within the city in case they were besieged by the other family. And many of these were built in Florence, but you also see them in other cities throughout Tuscany. In 1250, the death of Emperor Frederick II of the Holy Roman Empire led to a period of peace, a brief period of peace. And the Ghibellines looked for a new leader, and they found him in Manfred, the King of Sicily, who began to mobilize for battle. Well, in the Battle of Monteperti, which is in 1265, this is just 5 years before Dante's born, Manfred of Sicily and his alliance of Ghibelline sympathizers launched an attack on the Florentine Guelphs. And during the battle, a group of Ghibellines feigning allegiance to Florence changed sides and affected the outcome of the battle. Well, Dante will cast these traitors into the Inferno portion of his Divine Comedy poem. And Dante will draw many of events from his lifetime and project them into the Divine Comedy. The year after Dante's birth, 1266, the Guelphs under Charles of Anjou, that's from France, defeated Manfred of Sicily and the Ghibellines in a major battle. And King Manfred died in this battle, and he was posthumously excommunicated. So Dante includes his story in the Divine Comedy as well. So this battle effectively ended the Ghibelline influence for a time. Dante's father was from a Guelph family, but his mother, Bella, may have been a Ghibelline. And I have to ask myself, did Shakespeare get his inspiration for Romeo and Juliet from this ongoing struggle of the Guelphs and the Ghibellines? Perhaps. Florence was very independent-minded, and they sought to retain its independence throughout all this complicated political maneuvering. And this was the political world that Dante was born into. Lover and poet. Now, Dante attended a chapter school, which was attached to a monastery, and that's where he learned to read and write. And later he attended an abacus school where he learned rudimentary mathematics. I find it ironic that it's called an abacus school. Abacus is an invention from the Far East. But this is the time just after Marco Polo. So there is trade with the Orient going on, and Florence was a trading partner. So next, Dante attended upper school, where he learned Latin, rhetoric, and logic. And this is where he gained an appreciation of Ovid, Virgil, Homer, and other ancient poets from the Roman and Greek eras. And as a center for trade, Florence acquired the writings from many other lands, but somehow they lacked a commitment to establish schools of higher education, which was very strange for a city with a 75% literacy rate. That was extremely high in Europe at that time. And in fact, in the 1920s, Spain's literacy rate was only 50%. So Dante again met Beatrice when he was 18. He first met her when he was 9. He meets her again when he's 18. But he's unable to speak to her directly. He's tongue-tied. He's flustered. And her friends taunt him about his lovesick nature and his inability to express himself. And Dante, at this time, begins to write poetry. He finds a means for his expression, and he joins a widening circle of distinguished poets through correspondence. Well, shortly after the second meeting with Beatrice, Dante is married to Gemma Donati, a sister to his friend Farese. And this marriage was arranged for Dante when he was 12 years old and consummated in 1283 when he was 18 years old. Now, Dante and Gemma have 4 children, Jacopo, Jacob, Pietro, Peter, Giovanni, John, and Antonia. And Beatrice marries in 1287, just 4 years later, but she dies 2 years after that in 1289. 3 days after Beatrice's death, Dante fought with the Guelph cavalry at the Battle of Campaldino, which was June 11th, 1289. And this was a battle between Florence and Arezzo, which was a rival Tuscan town, and they were heavily engaged in the struggle between the Guelphs and the Ghibellines, the pro-papal and the pro-imperial parties in Italy. It's not known if Dante knew that Beatrice had died when he went into this battle. The victory of the Guelphs brought about a reformation of the Florentine constitution. So to have a voice in politics, one must now become a member of a guild. So Dante's decision to join the Physicians and Apothecaries Guild may have been because of the connection between philosophy and medicine. So physicians and pharmacists were in a guild. Or it may have been because the books were sold through the apothecaries. Strange, but that's how it worked. Being a member of a guild allowed him a voice in the political scene, and his name is occasionally recorded as speaking or voting in the councils of the Republic. Well, many minutes or records from such meetings between 1298 and 1300 have been lost, so the extent of his participation is uncertain. Besides finding a voice in politics, however, Dante turned to poetry to ease the suffering he felt at the loss of Beatrice. And he became good friends with a fellow poet named Guido Cavalcanti. And while Cavalcanti wrote about women having a devastating effect on men, Dante elevated his memory of Beatrice to a spiritual level and described her holiness in Christ-like terms. She began to inhabit all of his poetry, especially the Vita Nuova, which means the new life. And Dante never mentioned his wife Gemma in any of his compositions in all of his years. So Dante and a number of Tuscan poets began to be strongly influenced by the troubadour poetry of Provençal. Provençal is the southern part of France, and the troubadours were from the age of chivalry. This poetry occurred about 100 years earlier than Dante's time in the French courts, and it was a type of song that was sung to women who were unattainable or forbidden to the troubadours. A troubadour would go into a duke's castle and entertain, and he would sing this love song to the Duchess, knowing full well she's not attainable, but it was accepted, and it was a form of chivalry. Well, in Italy, this was called the sweet new style of poetry, and it elevated the love of women to a mystical or spiritual sense, and it conflated love for the forbidden woman toward approaching that of love for God. Political life. Well, educated men were often sought out to serve in political offices in Florence. Brunetto Latini, who served as Dante's guardian after the death of his father, was one such man. His friend and fellow poet, Guido Cavalcanti, was another one. And since Dante was a guild member and now eligible to serve, he was elected to a special council called the Capitano del Popolo, or Captain of the People. And this council was overseen by priors who were elected to 2-month terms of office. I like that, 2 months. If they don't like you, you're voted out. During his first 6 months in public office, there was nothing notable about Dante except for a speech he gave about condemning violence and a need for greater peace in the streets of Florence. So Dante was very much upset by the Guelph-Ghibelline conflicts, the ongoing rivalries. Political positions in Florence were all unpaid, another idea that we might want to think about. And Florence began to see Dante as one of the small elite circle of intellectual politicians in service. Over time, his reputation will grow. And the Guelphs, who had been victorious over the Ghibellines, now began to develop infighting among themselves. So the temperament of the people was that they had to have an enemy. They have to fight somehow. So now the Ghibellines are out, so the Guelphs split into two factions and start to fight amongst themselves. And one group is called the White Guelphs, and they are formed under a man named Vieri di Cerchi, and the Black Guelphs were formed under Corso Donati. Well, Cavalcante, Dante's fellow poet and good friend, was a supporter of Cerchi and the Whites. And Donati tried to have Cavalcante assassinated, but he failed. And then Cavalcante, in turn, attacked Donati in the streets, but he was also unsuccessful, and so Donati fled Florence. Well, tensions rose quickly, and Florence was soon divided against itself. So the Black Guelphs supported the role of the Pope as the political leader over Tuscany and Florence. Pope Boniface VIII used Charles of Anjou as a force to work toward this end. So the Pope uses France on the other side of Florence as a political lever. Now, the White Guelphs wanted more political independence for Florence, and so it wasn't about religion, it was about commerce and trade. And the leading families of the Black Guelphs had business interests in Naples and France, so they were also about trade, but they were controlled by the Pope and Charles of Anjou, while the White Guelphs did business in Tuscany and northern Italy. While Dante tried to remain neutral, not an easy thing to do, not supporting either side, his wife was of the Donati family, and he was close to his brother-in-law, Farese Donati, a supporter of the Blacks, but Dante's good friend, Cavalcanti, was a leading voice for the Whites. In the year 1300, Pope Boniface VIII declared a jubilee year, the very first jubilee year, and he encouraged all to come on pilgrimage to Rome, and Dante and other leaders were obliged to comply. But upon Dante's return, he discovers that Corso Donati has been implicated in financial scandals and has been brought before the priors. And the priors of Florence sentenced Corso Donati and several other Black Guelphs to heavy fines and exile. Well, Pope Boniface attempts to intervene and get this ruling annulled, but he is unsuccessful. And then street fighting erupts. Pope Boniface then sends a cardinal from Rome to try to intervene again and restore order, but that effort is also unsuccessful. Well, about this time, Dante is elected to be a prior. 8 days after his election, street fighting begins again. But this time, the street fighting is not between the Guelphs and the Ghibelline, between the White and the Black Guelphs, but it's now between the aristocrats, that is the wealthy, and the guild members, who are the educated. So Dante and the priors have no choice except to exile all who agitated for violence. So this includes both Black and White Guelphs. And the White Guelphs, including Cavalcante, leave Florence willingly. But most of the Black Guelphs balk and stay. And after 2 months, new priors are elected. And this new group, without Dante, reverses the exile for the Whites and lets them return. Well, the Black Guelphs are infuriated by these actions, and when Dante makes a speech in support of the Whites, he becomes a target for the Blacks in their effort to return to power. So Dante's pleas for peace will go unheeded by both factions. The die is cast. Dante's life is about to change in many diverse ways. Exile. In the autumn of 1301, Dante and two other representatives are sent to Rome on a diplomatic mission to keep Florence as an independent state. Pope Boniface sends the two others home, but he retains Dante to discuss the future of Florence. Something is going on in the background. While Dante is retained in Rome, the Pope orders Charles of Anjou to enter Florence and take control of the government. So he sends the French in. And Corso Donati and the Black Guelphs move into Florence with Charles of Anjou and the French and take over. So under Charles's protection, the Black Guelphs begin to arrest council members. And while he's still in Rome, Dante is charged with financial corruption. And even though there's no evidence for this charge, Dante is convicted and ordered to pay an enormous fine in 3 days. But Dante's in Rome. He cannot comply. He cannot even get home in time to do so. So his property is confiscated. And Dante denies the charges and refuses to accept the judgment. So he is automatically exiled from his native city and told if he returns, he will be executed by being burned alive. Dante will never in his lifetime return to his native Florence. He takes refuge with wealthy nobles in other cities who are aware of his poems and notoriety, and his family is kept from him for many years. Moving about from city to city, he's approached by other whites who have been exiled, and he's invited to meet with them and some Ghibellines who want to return to power in Florence. The meetings break down into squabbles among each of the groups and between all in attendance and results in nothing. So Dante is so demoralized with the state of Italian politics that he avoids all who express political intentions. He begins to refer to himself as a party of one. And he begins composing the Commedia, the life, which will be renamed the Divine Comedy in 1355, many years after his death. Dante completes and publishes the first part of this poem, Inferno, in 1314. In 1315, Florence offers to repeal his exile if he will acknowledge his guilt and pay a heavy fine. Dante refuses. Then Dante moves to Verona and the protection of other wealthy patrons, and his family is finally allowed to join him in Verona. He then moves on to Ravenna, where he completes the second major part of the Divine Comedy, the Purgatorio. Dante is then asked by his host in Ravenna to go on a diplomatic mission for them to Venice, and he complies. Prior to this trip, he completes Paradiso, the third and last part of the Commedia. Well, there's no ship available for him for his return trip from Venice, so he decides to travel overland through the swampy territories. But unfortunately, he contracts malaria from this experience, and he dies on September 13th, 1321, in Ravenna. And all three parts of the Commedia are published just after his death by his good friend Giovanni Boccaccio, who gives it the title Divine Comedy, out of love and respect for his friend. In 1325, the city-states of Bologna, which is Guelph-leaning, and Modena, which is ruled by Ghibellines, clash in what's known as the War of the Bucket. And it results in Modena's victory at the Battle of Zeppolino, which led to a resurgence of Ghibelline fortunes. But just 9 years later, in 1334, Pope Benedict XII threatened people who used either the Guelph or Ghibelline name with excommunication. So much were people fed up with this constant warfare. So let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.